Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I am Jack.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Bill.
And we're here to talk about video game news. But first, what have you guys been playing?
Go ahead. Okay. I've been under the weather, so I haven't really been playing much. Oh. Mostly just been watching shows. But the last couple of days, I've been feeling a little bit better. I started playing World Ends With You. So there's that. Playing the Switch one. I super understand why the DS1 is considered better. There's like the way you hold it, the way you control it, and stuff like that just makes way more sense.
Yeah.
But I'm super enjoying it. And I also like, you know me, I will sit in an area and knock out every single enemy I can. Because one of those where it's like, most areas, it's like limited amount of enemies.
Yeah.
So you go through and just like knock out everybody. I am so overpowered right now. It's absurd. But it's still so much fun. Because so every time you level up, the like gauge for like difficulty changes. Okay. So you can lower it down. So like if you make it as hard as possible, you get more more drops. So like more materials and stuff, which is really cool. I love it. It's so much fun. So it's like, even though I'm pretty OP, it still like has a like at least a level of challenge to it. So it's like each time I level up, it's like, yeah, but the enemies are getting harder.
Yeah.
So it's like a trade. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Your pins, the way you do magic and stuff, like levels up and stuff as you do it, which is pretty cool.
So it's worth going to a higher difficulty. That's good.
Yeah, it rewards you. So like depending on the actual difficulty and then the slider, so according to your level, you'll get extra stuff depending on what enemy you're beating up and stuff. It'll change. For each difficulty. So like right now I think I'm locked into either easy or normal mode. I can't go up into hard or like mania or whatever they call it. So that's been a ton of fun. I've been enjoying that way more than I thought I would. I've tried to play it once or twice before and just never could get into it at the time. The music, man, the music, it is such like, it's a bop. If you like the Persona music, if you like, you know, all these other ones,
yeah.
you will love the music in this game. It's very, very good. Good.
I was going to say, I'm very excited to see you on our video game vinyl page, like trying to get hooked up with the World Ends With You vinyl.
I'm waiting for it, man. I know it doesn't exist as far as I know, unless there's like a weird small print bootleg.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, I am a junkie for video game vinyl, and the quarantine has made it so much worse by like a million degrees. I probably have, I think like at least 10 I'm still waiting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like almost every other day I'm getting another one in. But I love it. I mean, it's one of those things where the community, like that, the group that we're in, Ty.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many awesome people. I've commented once or twice before, and then like 2 weeks later, something I completely forgot about. Somebody's like, "Hey, I have one of those, like extra. I'll sell it to you for cost." I'm like,
"Damn,
okay, yeah, like rare stuff.
Damn,
which is awesome. Like, yeah. One of those Johto ones that I got. Somebody was like, "I got it, you know, $20 shipped." I'm like, "Deal." Like, it's going for like $60+.
Fuck.
Like. Yeah, yeah, like just so many good people in that group, and they're always doing giveaways and stuff like that. I love it.
Yeah, because I've been keeping an eye out on that group, and like, I promise I'll keep this brief so we don't have like an entire section on video game vinyls. But the only thing that stood out to me
someone had a regular segment.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun. But someone had a Fooly Cooly vinyl, and I was like, hell yeah! But they were
found
at $65. It was
For the new seasons or the last
one? It was the old one. It was Little Busters, so I believe.
That's they put it at getting 65. Refreshed.
Yeah. That, yeah. I saw they were selling it at 65 and I Googled it and it's like, oh, 35. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Screw that. I'll just I'll just wait.
That's the scalpers.
Yeah.
Also, in my opinion, obviously the first series is way better.
Yeah.
But the second series soundtrack, I would argue, probably beats at least the vinyl.
Yeah.
Because it has the better songs on it, even some of the stuff from the earlier ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the Vinyl Rack with Bill, Jack, and Ty. To take a quick like little sideline. Yeah, it's very good. I just downloaded all of the Pillars discography. I've been listening to it.
Mm.
And, it's, oh, so good.
It's so good. It's a mood, man. It's so good.
But back on topic, I've been torturing myself and I'm playing Final Fantasy II.
Second
one, and the one, so,
not,
the one
not
thing,
four, number two,
yeah,
Japanese two,
Fury two. The one thing I do really enjoy about it is how short it is, because what?
The one redeeming factor.
I did like three things in the game. I grinded, so I was like OP, and then I get to this bit, and I'm like, oh, I forgot, I don't know where this is. I'm gonna look it up really quick, and it's like, oh yeah, at the halfway point through the game, when you go into this dungeon, I'm like, I've been playing for like 20 hours. Like, I'm halfway through the game and I'm overpowered as hell. Like, okay, sure. But I just want to do it just so I could beat it, just so I could say I can beat
so
it.
You're done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I can go to six.
Hmm. Oh, is that the next one on your list?
Yeah. Yeah. I've beaten and completed 1, 3, 4, 5. So I need to do 2 and 6, and I'll be done with the 8-bit era. And then after that.
And 16-bit. Come on now, Ty.
16-bit. Yes, yes, yes.
Why did you skip two? Why did you skip two?
When I was a kid, I just didn't like it. Like, I didn't get that, like, you couldn't level up and stuff.
Two is the, I feel like it's regularly agreed upon in terms of the, like, what I call the classics era before the PlayStation era, the classics era of it. I feel like two is the one that's considered just the worst.
Yeah, it's easily the worst.
Like, 5 is the, like, dark horse. It's arguably one of the best, but nobody's really, like, at least in the West, nobody's really played it much.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, like, in contrast, 2 is just arguably, like, bad.
Yeah. And 6 is just considered one of the best RPGs of all time. And, like, so I'm going to have a lot of fun going from 2 to 6. Because I've only
it'll be very rewarding.
Yeah, because I've only gotten, like, pretty early in 6. But I put it down because I was like, I need to finish 2. I want to do it in order, at least, or try.
Right.
And then from there, I go on to 8, 9. I want to replay 10, et cetera, et cetera.
I read a great post on the Final Fantasy games. I think it was like yesterday or the day before, where they're just like, the first game on a console showcases the possibilities of the hardware for, like, while providing, like, safe gameplay for Final Fantasy experience.
Yeah.
So, like, 1 and 4. So, like, 4 obviously introduces a bunch of, like, the RPG mechanics and stuff like that. Or not RPG, but storytelling. Mm. Like, that's really where storytelling came into play for the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
And then, like, each one, it follows the same format where it's, like, the first one. And then the second one is, like, they tried some new stuff, but it's, like, the worst one of them. And then the third one is, like, where they get it right kind of thing. At least in terms of up until through the PlayStation era. You can see parallels between each 3 sets.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get weird with like MMO cycles and stuff like that. I think even up through 12, it still follows the same like process. So it's really interesting where it's so like the second one has the weird experimental stuff. And then the final one combines all the new things and old things that they've learned and like combines them as like the coup de grace. So yeah. I'm interested to see if, you know, 16 is going to be that. Because we had 13, right? 14, we're not counting for this conversation, right?
Yeah.
But 13 was one of those things where some people liked it, some people didn't. Same thing with with 15. 15 was very divisive.
Oh, very.
I wonder if 16 is going to be the one that's like, even though it's a new console generation, if it's going to reset it, if it's going to be its own thing, or if it's going to kind of go into a new cycle.
Yeah, so, be just as divisive as 15. We'll see.
Well, I don't know. I think they're doing it in a sense of, it looks kind of like a combination, right? Where it's got elements of like old Final Fantasy, it looks like, but also doing new stuff. So I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
Sorry to railroad that.
Oh, no, you're fine. But Jack, what have you been playing?
Oh, man. I've been playing that Hyrule Warriors. You know that game I've been talking about the past couple of weeks? It's incredible. It was everything I'd hoped for and more in terms of content. new things to the series, to the Warrior series in general, and just the that refinement of what a Warriors game can become. And it's just did everything right and just improved on the formula in so many ways that if the next Dynasty Warriors game, if that gets announced and comes out, if it's not as good as this game, I think Koi needs to start rethinking what they're doing. Because
when was the last one they made? I feel like I haven't seen a Samurai or Dynasty Warriors or any of those for a while.
Yeah, they did 9, and that was the open world one, which was...
Was that the bad one?
Yeah, that was the real bad one. That was the real bad one.
I remember you complaining about that one being real bad.
And then just Samurai Warriors 4 was just kind of bland, and it was fun, but like it got really boring. Combat wasn't anything new. It did change something up in combat, but the combat thing they changed was kind of dull and not very interesting. More flashy than effective.
Sure.
But in this game, they added so many new elements that just...
It seems like they've been doing well with the spinoff stuff. Like,
yeah,
between Hyrule Warriors, I think almost all the ones I could think of were at least fairly well received at the very least.
I mean, people like Scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the little bit I played of it.
Once that comes to the States.
You need to play Persona 5 first, Jack.
I know, and I have it on PlayStation Plus now, so I...
Yeah, but that's the vanilla version. It's not Royal.
To be fair, that is the
$10 or something.
That is going to be the ending that Scramble builds off of.
Yeah. What were you saying, Jack? Sorry.
I think I could upgrade it for like $10 or something.
Oh, if they do that, Royal's like awesome.
If that is an option, 100% do it without even blinking. Like the little, every time they re-release or redo the Persona games and stuff, they add just enough where you're like, fine, take my money again. Oh
yeah.
Man.
Oh yeah, I definitely have more reason to play 5 now.
Yeah.
Because I want to Scramble.
Yeah, if not, there's some Black Friday deals for it for like $25, and it's still worth that.
I should have jumped on it. There was a physical steelbook edition for $20. I should have jumped on it.
But... Yeah, I think that was at GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I've been playing the game that we've been working on for our next episode, The Last Story. And I'm more than halfway now, and I'm excited to talk about that. So I'm not going to spoil any of that here.
I've totally played a ton of it.
I keep running into issues on my normal computer, and I was like, screw it, I'm just going to install it on my Mac so I can play it on the go, and it boots up fine, and it's fine on my Mac.
On your Mac? My, okay.
Like, yeah, right. My little, like, dinky little Mac that, like, struggles to run Portal can run, like, Last Story fine, and the emulator fine.
That's so funny. I have similar stuff where, like, my laptop, which is, like, it's a gaming decent like laptop from however long ago when I bought it. It's been a while. It's like, it's not new by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Regularly outperforms my PC because my PC does random shutdowns sometimes. And you're like, great, thanks.
Yeah.
So just like, it's just so much more consistent. So I feel that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so just watch me. Later this week, I'll have like finished it.
Because it isn't a short game. It's not even very difficult.
Yeah. Well, like, but I know, like, because you and me, I feel like all three of us will be like, cool, we're like way behind, and we just hammer it out. And we're like, all right, now we're done.
Yeah. And I'm doing all the side stuff, which I think I've done it all up to this point. I think it's just main story now. But
is the side stuff like weapons, or is it actually story stuff?
It's side story stuff.
Okay.
Character development things for your party. Sure. And then you do get materials and gear.
Sure.
Because you upgrade your weapons.
It was more of a, does it have constitution? Like, is there a reason to it, you know? Just side quest for side quest's sake.
It does give you experience, and that I'd say would be the most important thing, because you can go back and replay levels. They would just be harder, and there's some items that new items that show up, but it's harder. but you don't get experience for it. You only gain experience through main story and through the arena, which the arena levels up every time you do it. And then it just gets too hard. You can't gain experience there anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'd say the optional stuff is, it's fairly short and it's fun character stuff. Your characters, you know, have...
That's what I care about. It's, it adds depth to the characters. And
yeah, that, so
that's
I would say really do it.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it gives you experience. It's fun.
Nice. Yeah, I need to get on that. I played like a couple minutes of Royal earlier this week. I'm like, man, I need to finish this because I finished the base game, but I never finished Royal. Mm. And so like I keep leaving Ty out to dry, you know, wanting to talk about it. And then two, I want to finish it. Plus then now that we actually have a confirmed, not just rumor, confirmed that, you know, Scramble's coming, that is a sequel. I actually want to sit down and do it finally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got, plus then I've got Devil May Cry coming this week, 5.
Nice.
And we got Cyberpunk. So it's just like one thing after another.
Oh, 3 days.
3 days.
I think mine's due to show up on Thursday.
Yep.
So I'm excited. Yeah. So, I mean, that covers it for me. Sorry I keep railroading you guys.
No, you're fine.
That's good.
But shall we move into our first topic?
Yeah. You mean our only topic besides the main topic?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you have one. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Dingus.
You're double teaming it.
So moving on to our first topic. Splatoon competition, a tournament, recently got canceled by Nintendo. So this was an official Splatoon tournament that they had, you know, ready. And the reason it was canceled is because all the teams changed their names to the names of Smash Brothers players, I believe. And they did that as a general protest because Nintendo sent a cease and desist to a large Melee tournament telling them that they have to stop because they were playing on Slippy, which is an emulator which allows people to play Melee online.
Gotcha.
So what do you, before I like speak my piece about this, like what do you guys feel about this?
So I feel with Nintendo, it's really frustrating because on one hand, I get what they're doing. Nintendo has this thing where they make a game and they want you to experience that game in a specific way.
Yeah.
And they don't like it changing in any form. Like Smash is just a family party game. It's not a competitive fighting scene. It wasn't only until a few years ago that they started to embrace that, but like begrudgingly. But I get why they shut down this tournament because of that mod was not an original thing in the game, and they don't like you tampering with their stuff. There's been a lot of times where people have tried to make mods for games and they got cease and desist. But I find it frustrating because right now we're in the middle of a pandemic. And you can't have a tournament, you know, in person. So doing this is the only way they could really, like, morally do it right.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's one of those things where it's like look at most other companies. Because, like, there's been a lot of people that's like, oh, yeah, they're a Japanese company. They have specific, like, things that they do like this and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, Capcom doesn't do this. Like, all you have to do is, at the very least, for something like this, right? Where it's a mod, sure, and you could maybe crack down on normal circumstances, but there's literally no way of having normal tournaments anymore for this game.
Yeah.
You know, my thoughts on competitive Melee and stuff like that aside, that's what I believe is, like, if people want to do it, let them do it, at least in this circumstance. If you want to crack down on it later, go for it. I don't care, but, you know.
Yeah. I agree with both of you guys. Like, I do understand Nintendo's approach to this because it is, you know, it is a mod. It is an emulation. You know, they don't know that those people have bought that game. It's probably fair to guess that they have if they're Melee professionals.
I would assume so.
But at the same time, you never know, I guess.
Yeah.
And like, I do understand where they're coming from a business standpoint. But the thing is, people have been asking for like a Melee HD for like a decade now.
Yeah.
People have been asking for this for years.
I mean, also though, they're, you know, it's not like Nintendo's pumping out new copies or giving you a way to buy it again. So they're not seeing any finances coming in from that.
Yeah, and we could even do like a whole other episode about that. But it is really dumb when, like, you know, there are, I don't want to call it free advertising because that's not what it is. It's not just free advertising for their game. But when it's a game that's so old and doesn't have any new competition, and it's a game that's so old that it doesn't have any other way of playing it, and they shut down a tournament for it, like, if I wanted to host my own Pen Triathlon, Triathlon tournament, and I wanted to stream it, like...
Excuse me, you're what?
Pen Triathlon was one of the launch titles for the Nintendo Dreamcast, for the Sega Dreamcast. Uh-oh.
For the Nintendo Dreamcast.
Yeah, I'll do an entire TED talk about that game eventually. But like, if I wanted to hold a tournament for that, and I got a C&D out of nowhere for a game that people can't buy, for a system that people can't use, like, what am I, like, why at that point? It just feels, I understand why they did it, but it feels moot.
Yeah. It really, I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. And I think that's why there's been so much of a public outcry about it recently.
Yeah.
Is because... there's no, like, again, in normal circumstances, I don't think anyone would freak out about it or whatever as much. But we're literally locked down. We're like, I can't go down the street to go play the other one. I mean, Nintendo would be like, oh, go play, newest one, Ultimate or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I get that. But they're not doing that. They're just doing a cease and desist and stuff. Yeah. They're not actively supporting the community. They're kind of just like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then another community is like, hey, no, we should be able to do this. And then they're like, well, screw you too, buddy. That's how I feel about it. It's just doubling down on that. And then I like the way, you know, like Sega and Capcom and stuff. It's like, yeah, we don't support it, but we're not going to actively aggregate people about it. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah. Or they're even willing to like integrate that or kind of take the...
Right.
criticism from it or see what they're trying to do and be like, okay, maybe is this really what you guys want? Like, sure. Like, that's how Sonic Mania came to be. And Sonic Mania is arguably the best Sonic game in like the last 10 years. Like, it's
at least. The best Sonic game since Sonic 3 and Knuckles, I would argue.
Yeah.
Sonic CD and Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, I think, get specific shout outs, but not much others that are close.
Yeah.
Maybe like, Colors.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I would say Colors was the last decent one. But yeah.
We're sidetracked.
Yeah. But my final piece on it is like, as a designer, as someone who's on the industry, and I understand why, and I see, and they are 100% in the right to do it. But from someone who used to play fighting games competitively, as someone who's just a fan of games, it's just like, really?
Well, you need to think community minded, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the era of COVID, like removing ways for people to communicate and hang out and play games and stuff together is not what you want to be doing as a company right now.
Yeah.
It's actively aggregating the people who, you know, you should be supporting, in my opinion, at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a very frustrating company to support because I love their games. I love their IPs. I've been fans of theirs since I was a kid, but they do all these terrible things for the people who buy these games.
Yeah.
They, like, constantly do what we don't want.
Yeah. They just don't support their communities.
No. Well, what's funny, my opinion on it, at least, what's funny is, so, you know, a lot of us grew up with these companies, right? We grew up with Nintendo, we grew up with Sega, PlayStation, whatever. We spent a large majority of our lives, you know, playing the games and being engrossed in the culture of it, if you will. And people, especially Nintendo, has that family-friendly, like, kind of attitude about it at this point. Mm-hmm. And the thing is people are like, oh, no, it's the family kind of thing. It's still a company at the end of the day. And they have to do things that way and stuff like that. And people... kind of forget that a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's a big company, like mega corporation. I mean, they hold some of the biggest IPs in video games. They have they have the Mickey Mouse of video games, you know, Mario.
Yeah.
So like, you know, put them on that same scope as like, oh yeah, because like people are like, oh yeah, Disney is, you know, this mega big, you know, Mickey Mouse owns everything and stuff. It's not the exact same thing, obviously, but they own Mickey Mouse of gaming.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe in such a, we need to stand behind indie devs and indie, you know, developers and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I believe in that wholeheartedly through, in most mediums, like comics, music, video games, everything, because that's how everything progresses forward. Creator owned IPs is the future, is what needs to be the future, because that's how we are going to develop and grow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I agree.
But, I was going to say, what's our next piece?
Speaking about kind of indie games, I guess, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. As you two know, Scott Pilgrim is one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite comics, one of my favorite video games. A while back, they kept teasing us with a potential re-release for the 10th anniversary of the movie of the game. The game has been, it came out, I think, right around or right after the movie.
A year after or something.
Whatever. Yeah. It's been almost 10 years.
Right.
Either way, the game is, I would argue, one of the best beat 'em ups ever created. I absolutely adore the game, from music, the character design, everything. And if you're a fan of Scott Pilgrim, it so accurately depicts, especially the comics. Because the comics and the movie are close enough, but it takes everything from the comics as its baseline. Mm. But the music is one of my favorite things ever come out of it. It's my white whale currently for vinyl. to go back to there, but I have a gut feeling that they're gonna repress it somehow. It's through Anime Noguchi, and they're one of the best chiptune artists ever. Supposedly there's like 20 something unreleased tracks and stuff too. So we're like, are we gonna get that? Like a repress / like update where we're gonna get more out of it. I'm like, dude, that's the dream. So I'm waiting for the physical announcement, because they announced today that there's gonna be a physical edition, or should be a physical edition. Brian Lee O'Malley, who's the creator, tweeted and basically said, like, we're working on it. It's not guaranteed. Basically made it sound like it's not guaranteed, but it's likely. My expectation is through a place like i8bit or
Limited Run,
one of them. I can't remember. I think it was i8bit handled the vinyl in the past, so I would imagine they would go through them because they also do publishing, since they already have ties with them. But I can also see it be either way, because I will 100% back that. Like, they're already getting my money for the digital because it comes out on my birthday. And supposedly they're adding online co-op options, which makes me very happy. Yeah. So the original version of the game actually had a mod that somebody created for online co-op for a like emulated version of it.
Oh, cool.
But so basically what happened was, a couple years after the release, they lost the license. Ubisoft lost the license. They didn't want to pay for it again. So it got pulled off every store that the game was on. Yeah. And so people for years have been like, hey, re-release this if you can, kind of thing. And like, by some sheer miracle, you know, they were like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And we're like, what? Awesome.
For a while, it was like PT. Like, if you had an Xbox 360 that had Scott Pilgrim on it, that was unlocked, people would like pay extra for it.
Yep. It was one of the big, like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this on your older console? Like, it, now it's worth money.
I remember seeing a console with Scott Pilgrim and PT going up for sale for like $1,200. I was like, that's insane.
Well, it's, you can't get it. That's the only way you could play it, was having that on there. My PS3 has it. Scott Pilgrim on it. It's literally just like everything about the game is so well done. It so accurately depicts the characters, the world, and the story of Scott Pilgrim, and on top of it just being an amazing beat 'em up game. Like I said, it's one of, if not the most fun, beat 'em up game that I've personally gotten to enjoy. I think a close second nowadays would be River City Girls, because that it feels very much the same. That's when, for a long time, like when people were like, hey, I want to play Scott Pilgrim or something, I'd be like, you can't. But have you played River City Girls? Because like it's the same kind of, like, it feels exactly the same gameplay wise. Progression is very similar. And the music is also just amazing. So I'm very, 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 very excited for this to actually come into our hands. It's supposed to be coming out January 14th. But and it's got both the DLC packs it was previously released with. So you get Knives Chow and Wallace Wells as playable characters. So I'm excited to play Wallace.
Yeah, I'm. I was going to say, I'm not the biggest fan of like beat 'em ups, but I did really like Scott Pilgrim. Like, it was an amazing game when it came out. I still have it on my Xbox 360. I touch it every here and there.
But it's now the only reason I turned my PS3.
Yeah, and now that I've been playing some more games and some more beat 'em ups, like, I really got into Dragon's Crown and stuff. Like, I'm excited to come back to it, because like, I remember just being a dumb kid, like, having to spam the infinite lives to beat the game. And now, like, just kind of being where I am, just be like, can I beat this in just like one life? Can I figure this out?
The trick is to get to the like town area and then just grind for money, and then you pay Scott's late fees on his video card, which is like $200 or something. It's hilarious. And then there's a couple of things that will like help you like dramatically. Like, you can get like all the level ups and all this other stuff that makes you just OP if you're having problems with the game.
Yeah,
I did it vanilla, and then I did it just, all right, let's break the game.
Yeah, because I remember as a kid, I just sucked at it. But like,
yeah,
because I remember I did the grind. I did like all of that. I really like playing Ramona. Ramona was my favorite character to play because I just loved using the hammer and shit.
And yeah, that's fair. It's so strong.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have a friend, Alvaro. We talk about Scott Pilgrim every here and there. We have a lot of overlapping hobbies, but like Scott Pilgrim always kind of comes up. And like, I'm excited for this to come up because I told him about the beat 'em up, and he's in Tennessee, so we can't exactly like do couch co-op for it.
Yeah.
So to just be like, yo, like Scott Pilgrim's actually coming out.
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
I mean I played through like all the characters. I think there was one character I didn't level up all the way, and I can't remember which one it was, but I've leveled up all the base game because I didn't have the DLC at the time. But one of my favorite characters is Kim Pine, because her attitude is the best in both the comics and the in the movie, where she's just like, nah, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
There's this great image from the comic book that I might get a tattoo of, where it's her in the rain. We have the people are like, where are you going? And she's like, blow me. And it's like raining. She gives him the finger. I'm like, this picture is just like so perfect, and I love it.
What was it? I use it as a reaction image in text and stuff, but it was the manga panel where she does like the blow your brains out stuff.
Yeah.
And just how
I use that all the time.
Oh, I love it.
I use that all the time, both the movie version and the comic book version.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean,
games that you would say are your favorites.
Nice transition.
All right. The Game Awards coming up in a few days.
Wait. You know what comes before the Game Awards?
What?
These ads. Eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Eat it, listener. You're super excited for our Game Awards stuff.
Me too. Yeah,
thank you so much for listening. We appreciate everybody here. Please stop. Please do not stop listening to us. We need you.
Like, dude, you just have to appreciate ads. Like, it helps us out, helps you out. You could be pushing, like, I don't know, soap on you or something. Oh, wait, we're back.
Soap.
Soap.
Not the soap.
But now it's time for our actual topic.
Speaking of soap.
About that game about soap.
These squeaky clean game awards.
Yeah, are you guys ready for this? I feel like it's the same five games in every category, just about.
Yeah, it's every year.
Yeah. Either way, I think we're only going to talk about a handful of the topic, the categories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the ones that interest us, really.
So,
should we talk about the player's choice?
Yeah, we can start with that.
They did an interesting thing this year where you can vote for the Player's Voice Award of which game is your favorite. And they allowed you to see the percentage of people who voted for this game. And then they were going to go through each round and knock
eliminate more. Yeah.
Apparently, this is an experiment for this year. They might do it again next year. They might try something different. I don't know how I feel about it, because especially with The Last of Us Part Two on here, I know that when Jeff tweeted, oh, look at Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us Part Two are like 1% off. I wonder who's going to win. Shortly after that, Last of Us Two got bombed and Ghost went up like 15% higher. I don't know how I feel about that, because
what do you mean?
I feel like it's easy to get people to just change the vote instead of it being anonymous.
I don't know if anyone was changing the vote per se. Well, I think it was more of a
to vote for Ghost so that Last of Us 2 would lose, because that's what people want to hate that game.
Sure. Regardless, I didn't see his tweet as instigating that. I just saw it as go vote.
I'm saying that's what this type of polling is inviting. By allowing us to see the percentage of who's winning, people can take action and gang up on one that, you know, the internet doesn't like The Last of Us. So I don't feel like it's getting a fair chance because of that.
I mean, I saw from people that I respect as like writers and people who review stuff who absolutely love Last of Us Part Two and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm sure there's going to be some people who do that kind of stuff, but I don't know if it's going to affect that much for the fact of like, that's a huge percentage jump, like 15%.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh man.
That's like a significant number split where I think there was enough people who were voting for Ghost at a higher rate.
Yeah.
Like we've seen enough with the like most recent election in the US here, how numbers change things, you know, like, well, those just didn't get counted yet or whatever. Right.
Right.
So like, it's one of those things where
you can change the toll like now, like it's not over because we can see the percentage. And I don't know, have you seen like The Last of Us subreddit? It's just
I have not.
Everybody's hating.
Oh, well, I follow I think it's called Gaming Circle Jerk, where they make fun of fun of all of that. And like, once again, you guys know my stance on like Last of Us and Crunch and all that stuff.
Right.
But, yeah. It is kind of funny to see people like absolutely freak out about it and like the fact that The Last of Us 2, or Last of Us, is it just The Last of Us 2 Reddit? That's like absolutely insane.
I think so. I haven't been to the original one in a long time. I just know the second one is just flooded with just...
I didn't love the first one, so I never gave any like try to the second one. Like I didn't pick it up. I didn't try to play it or anything. Of the games, let's just say the top five that are here right now, right? Mm-hmm. My vote would be Ghost of Tsushima. That game is technically amazing, beautiful, great narrative. Like it deserves, you know, I think the win personally. I, as much as I love Mario's and I love Hades, and I understand how much people love Doom, I think Ghost, in terms of just technicality of everything that it is should win the slot of what it is. So in player's voice, personally. If not game of the year, I personally think, well, we can get to that later. but I mean, Last of Us 2, it's one of those things where it did have a lot of its issues and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have any say in it. That's the thing.
Like, I think I'm going to do the oddball choice. I'm going to pick Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't think it's going to win. That's just like my personal one out of these. I'm sorry.
Oh, for
it's not in the final round.
Yeah, it's not in the player's voice. It's in the game of the year.
Okay. Now I found player's voice. All right, I'm a dingus.
Yeah. Final Fantasy was in the running for player's voice, but it didn't make. I think it got booted out of round two. So
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to admit it, but I haven't played any of these. I do think Ghost of Tsushima, I'm not saying it because, you know, they're 14% ahead, but I think Ghost of Tsushima, like, is probably going to win. I remember when I saw the finalists, my first two guesses were Hades or Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. Hades, because it would get enough love from the community and people just saying, hey, it's really cool that there's an indie game going for Game of the Year.
Hades is amazing.
Yeah, like, I need to play it. I've been pushing it off.
Wait, are we talking Game of the Year now?
Yeah, let's move into Game of the Year. Might as well. Hades is such a good game. I don't think it wins Game of the Year, personally. I think the other games there stand way better ground on it. Mm-hmm. However, for best indie, I think it wins out by a mile. It is such a well-done game. It's from a genre of those kind of games, like the roguelike type games. It's such a well-created game that's like, it took everything that I like in roguelikes for the most part, and then just enhanced it and did it right, you know? I love, you know, Gungeon. I love Wizards of Legend. I love, you know, most of those kind of games that Hades is in that vein of. And I would argue this is the best one of them. Like, it doesn't do the comedy of weapons like Gungeon does. Because, like, the stuff that they do with the weapons that game are absurd.
And I mean, that's Legend Gungeon.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. You know, Wizards of Legend is so much fun mechanically. Like, there's so many, like, different spells and different stuff, like, you could do, and each one of your builds is slightly different, comboing with different stuff, with your different outfit, different artifacts, things like that. There's so much to do depth-wise on it. Hades does a lot of things from all of those very well, where it has comedy in its writing. Like, it's well-written. On top of it, there's just the way you progress. And, like, as I was playing, it never felt like a slog like some of those other ones. Like, okay, Wizard of Legend, I'm playing the same kind of route again, you know? Here it's like, yeah, I'm playing the same kind of thing, but it's different every single time just because of mechanically how it works. And every time I'm getting farther because I'm getting more of those permanent things. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's a slog like the other ones did. So that's I love that. Game of the Year, I don't think so. I think, so my breakdown was my heart wants Final Fantasy VII Remake. My expectation is Ghosts. And what should get it is Animal Crossing. That game got us, like, the country through the pandemic. Not even just the country, the world through the pandemic. If there's a game that's deserving of Game of the Year, it's something that we escaped to into an alternate reality to play.
I really like Animal Crossing. Like, to give my quick, like, you know, 2 cents on the Game of the Year, I personally, mine is Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think Ghost of Tsushima is going to win. And I really like Animal Crossing. And I probably put the most hours into Animal Crossing. My only issue with it is that as a base launch game, like, it was missing stuff. And there's still some quality of life changes that I think need to be made to the game, like being able to make multiple recipes in a row, being able to buy multiple things with Nook Miles in a row, and, like, you know, just kind of small things like that.
But, yeah, I mean, I agree. There's small things, but I feel like even at launch, even with base game, I don't think it was that bad. You said this before. I don't know if it was in one of our chats or on one of another episode or whatever. Even though that it had a lot of stuff that needed updating, I feel like overall it was still a great experience at launch.
Oh,
I absolutely loved it. And it's far above the other Animal Crossing games at launch.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Minus a few things, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
like, I think some of the more recent Animal Crossings outdo it at launch. But the thing is, like, speaking of it from our point of view in December, like, the game is really good right now. Like, there's so much fun stuff. Better. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't played in a couple months. I went through the whole process of selling and buying a Switch because my original Switch broke. I bought a Switch Lite with Animal Crossing. That's what I played it on for a while. Then I sold my Switch Lite, so I had to transfer all my stuff over because I created a new island. And then we spent time just one by, like, going back and forth, dropping off all my stuff onto my other island. I have not touched the game since moving all my stuff to the other island.
Oh my god.
So there's literally just, like, piles of stuff strewed across the baseline island, and I'm just like, all right, I'm not doing this. Because I spent so much time making, like, my castle in my other game. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with this right now.
Oh man.
But yeah, I mean, I just think of culturally, like, how everybody, like, did you know almost anybody who wasn't playing Animal Crossing when that was coming out? Or if not playing, trying to play it?
Mm. I know a lot of people who this was like their first Animal Crossing, and they were just like, everybody's playing it. I want to go to people's islands, etc.
I know who didn't have a Switch, and because of this pandemic, we're like, I think I want to get the Switch to get Animal Crossing because everyone says it's great and it's good.
You're like, what a great time to try and get one.
Oh yeah. But see, that's the thing is, I would agree that I think that Animal Crossing will probably win, only because this pandemic.
I don't know if it wins. I think it deserves it though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Deserves it. I think it deserves it for sure. But if this pandemic didn't happen, I don't think it would deserve it.
No, absolutely not. But I think that's what defines the game of the year. It's you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
To a certain extent. Like the impact of the year on top of it just being a very, very well-made game. I mean, I've been playing Animal Crossing since the first one. I don't know. I think I might have skipped like some of the like smaller like side games and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know if all of us here, but I know I've played all of them since like the first one.
Right.
And it's to this day, one of my favorite, like it's still one of my favorite franchises. So
I think the only one that I didn't play was the board game one on the DS, 3DS, which is funny because I have it's the Amiibo Happy Home
Designer. Amiibo Party, gotcha. I didn't touch either of those two.
Yeah, I started playing Happy Home Designer, but I never got into it. But
it made me think it was just like My Sims.
Yeah.
You know, where you go in and you create tools because you're a craftsperson or whatever. But yeah, I didn't touch those two, and I played very little bit of Pocket Camp, and that was about it. But I played all the mainline ones at the very least.
Yeah, I get that.
But well, I mean, my favorite one to this day is still the first Animal Crossing. Like GameCube is, for whatever reason, just aesthetically, just and everything, just does it for me more than any of the other ones. Even this one, like, I like this one a lot, but I love the old one.
It's had a different look.
I like the grid that it used to be on and stuff like that, and just like there's small subtle things. It might just be a nostalgia thing at this point, but you know.
It was funny because it's a lot of things. I understand how you feel. Like, I have this kind of a nostalgia for the old Animal Crossings as well. And, like, a lot of the things that I miss about it were brought on because of the hardware limitations. Like, the grid and, like, a lot of stuff like that. Like, it was because they didn't really have the technology to really make it better than that or to be able to do, like, seamless loading. Which is funny because Animal Crossing on the GameCube was such a low disk space game to the point where you could boot up the game, take off the disk, and everything's already loaded into the RAM.
Right.
because that's how small the game was.
I mean, it took a decent amount of like memory space, but that's just because there's so much stuff in it.
Yeah. Like,
remember it coming with its own memory cards?
Yeah. But out of all of these, Animal Crossing is definitely the one I put the most time into, but I did really like 7.
7 is what my heart wants. I love the game. I mean, we've had multiple episodes gushing about it. I think most people know how we feel at this point.
Yeah.
I also feel like I've played all of these except for Hades and Last of Us Part 2. I've heard Hades is great. Last of Us Part 2 is also very divisive. And I've gotten everything spoiled for me, but I feel like I probably won't play it, but that's just because I don't like what the kind of story it's telling. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's not for you.
Like
it's. But I think that's a sign of a good game that it can make you feel that kind of emotion. Like, what was the last game that you played that like made you angry at what happened in the game? Not mad that the game was bad, but made mad because of what happened.
Emotions of what's happening in the game.
Like, I think that's really powerful, and a lot of people didn't like that, and so that's why they hate it. But I think that's really interesting, and I think that's why it's up there as one of the game of the year, because it was able to do that.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that there's anything up there that shouldn't be there. Like, all these games, I think, deserve
100%.
I would say Doom Eternal doesn't need to be up there. It was good. I'm a big fan of the Doom series.
I'd say it's not the first one. Like, the first one deserved to be in a Game of the Year slot. Or the last one, whatever. Not the first one, but the last one that was from that series, which is the first one of that arc or whatever. That one deserved a Game of the Year slot.
For sure.
But this one, I've heard so many mixed things about. Like, I heard it's still fun and stuff, but, like, just not as, like, boom, you know?
I love the new story. Like, there's a lot, it's a lot more lore heavy. I love that. The soundtrack was a bit lacking, which was a huge thing for the first one.
Yeah. I didn't play Doom or Last of Us Part 2. So those are my two, like, but like, Doom has such a big, like, following. That's why I'm like, it could still, like, be one of those, like, dark horse wins in my book because of that.
But Ghosts, I think, is just a technical marvel. Just, it looks so pretty. The photo mode is amazing. But ultimately, I've played this game before in multiple other games. And I don't feel like it'll probably get Game of the Year. It's not my Game of the Year. It's quite short to that. I did like the online, though. I think that's a really cool addition.
I still need to play that.
But I would definitely, I want to vote Final Fantasy VII because it did everything for me. The only thing I didn't like about it was I wish it had a little bit more emotion when it came to the big thing that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
In the city. I wish it was done better, as well as the introduction to Sephiroth was better. But other than that, everything else about it, I loved. Voice acting, the story beats, the different story beats, the new characters, like new combat system, the music, like, I already, like, platinumed it, but I want to go back again. But I'm holding back until part two gets announced so that I can get caught up.
Yeah, I still need to platinum it. I'm still missing. I need to do the missions on hard, and I need to beat the super duper final boss. Boss.
He's not hard. It's the boss before him that's the hardest.
I'm pretty sure I got everything that I could through the initial playthrough, minus like one or two trophies that are like easily to go back about. So I'm like, I could put time in, but I also just don't feel like it.
Yeah, I just need to come back to it fresh, really.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say the next, because we're only going to talk about a couple of categories. My next vote is Best Indie. As we talked about earlier, I'm very much for the indie world, and I think that, you know, that's what drives us forward, right? There's several games on that list that deserve slots there. Carrion. Have you guys played Carrion at all?
I have. No, I've heard very good things about it.
It is ridiculous. It is so much fun. You are a carrion crawler going through this like laboratory, amassing like more weird like tendrily things and causing chaos and like eating people and throwing body parts around. It is so much fun. It is exactly what you'd expect to come from Devolver Digital. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And Fall Guys is on there, which there was a good, I don't know, good month or two where just nobody was not playing Fall Guys.
Yeah.
Like, that game is absolutely so much fun. It has no business being that fun because you're a little bean in a costume running around. But it is so much fun. I think the fact that they gave it for free on PSN really, really, really helped its popularity.
Oh, yeah. That definitely nailed it in.
Like, it was something that I'm like, I would buy it if it was really cheap, but I wouldn't go out of my way to pick it up. With it being free, I put in a little more than I should have time-wise.
Yeah, I have it downloaded, but I haven't played it too much. I think I played like one round, and then it was like literally right before I had to leave for something.
That sounds about right. Like, it's so goofy and so much fun, and I very much enjoyed it. My time with it. I might at some point start playing it again, but I got to hang out with some friends that I haven't seen in like forever, just playing online with each other. And like, we're like, oh, did you make it through? Yeah, I made it through. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't make it through, sucker. You know, things like that. It was great. Hades, obviously, that's my vote. Again, I think they just did it right with that game. My expectation is probably Hades or Carrion. Spelunky 2. I was never big on the Spelunky games, so I don't have much to say on that one. I know Spelunky is an enjoyed, you know, series and stuff. So, and then Spiritfarer, which is the one on this list that I have the even less knowledge about. I know it's made by Thunder Lotus, which they're awesome. They're the ones who did Jotun, I believe, and Sundered.
That's awesome.
So I'm very interested into seeing what that's about. I think I remember looking at a trailer and being like, eh, whatever at the time. Mm-hmm. Now looking that it's Thunder Lotus, I'm like, oh, I might actually have to try it because they do excellent work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, best indie is going to be Hades. I think, like I said, it just does everything right. Next would probably be Fall Guys or Carrion. So for me.
Yeah, I need to play these games. Like, this is just stuff, like, everything on here is stuff. I think mine is Spelunky 2. I played the first one a little bit, and I wasn't fond of it. But, like, all these games are on my, like, to-play list. It's just, you know, doing JRPG Book Club, and then also playing, like, randomly redoing games that I haven't played in, like, ages and stuff. Like, but
it's,
I think,
so
my
hard.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, my only issue with the best indie slot is that Undertale isn't in their fifth year again. Running. it is that
quiet you.
Sorry.
Well, my thought with so best indie is such a weird term, right?
Yeah.
Because there's indie where it's made like, you know, Stardew Valley, where it's one guy by himself doing everything. And then you have best indie where it's not a AAA studio, but it's still made by like 300 people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with Jackbox Games. Jackbox Games, they're not like a AAA studio. They're technically indie, but they have, you know, they've got a decent amount of people. They've got a decent sized office. Like,
right.
It is weird. But at the same time, like, you know, there's still those games that are still made by one person that still beats out those indie games that have been made by like, you know, 50 people.
I would love a category specifically shouting out the like true indie, you know, where it's like, hey, these are like community made games or whatever you want to call it, where it's not community, but you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of a good like name for that. I guess it would just be like solo indie games.
Yeah. Something like that, where it's like made by like max, you know, 10 people,
yeah,
5 people, where it's if us three got together to make something or whatever, you know,
or small indie versus like big team indie. Like it's
right. Like, I just would love to see a more of a spotlight on that stuff, because I think that's when I talk about indie, that's what my heart means. It is the small teams, the team that's like, we're creating it because we have an idea and a story or whatever in mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you wanted to talk about mobile games for a second, didn't you, Ty?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to touch down.
It would be Among Us.
Yeah. It's either going to be, I think Genshin has a legitimate shot at getting it.
My vote is Genshin. Yeah.
Because I think out of all of these, the two that legitimately may win are either Genshin or Runeterra. And
you don't think Among Us? Man, every Let's Player is playing that game. Like,
I mean, same thing with Genshin.
I think it will win. There's another thing that I got nominated for. I can't remember at the moment, but I think it's going to win that. But when it comes to indie games, like, Bill knows, like, I'm into card games. Obviously, Bill knows because he's into card games. And, like, I really liked Hearthstone, and then I kind of dropped off Hearthstone because it got to the point where it was, you had to put too much into the game to get a meta deck to play competitively to get more out of the game.
You might as well be playing an actual card game.
Exactly. At that point, you might as well be playing an actual card game, because then at the very least I own my cards and I can make a little like paper structure out of them or something. Like, but Runeterra is like, it's incredibly free to play friendly, and on top of that it's a very good card game. Like, I remember in interviews leading up to the release of Runeterra, they talked about how like the main design team, like, they've been playing Magic for years, they've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh, they play like everything, and they play Pokemon, like, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of it is research on how card games are played. And, like, if you play Runeterra, like, that really shines through. I'm not even a big fan of, like, League of Legends. I do enjoy the lore. But, like, the game is so nice. It's presented great. It's very easy to understand, very hard to master.
Yeah. I personally think in terms of longevity, right? So mobile games have a very high turnover rate because there's always new stuff. They're always free, things like that, right? I think for the long-term effect, I think you're going to see Legends of Runeterra. I think that's going to be the one, mostly just for the fact of it has a staying power behind it.
Yeah.
It's got Riot. It's got a well-made card game. It's, like you said, it's very welcoming to new players.
Yeah.
Take Genshin Impact, right? Which is probably my vote, but at the same time, it probably shouldn't be. But that game is fun at first. Then it just kind of falls flat. Like, it fell hard flat for me. Like, I played it for quite a bit of time. I was well ahead of everybody. And I'm just like, why? Like, it got to the point of just like, okay, I can't pull any more characters because I can't, you know, I'm out of resource. And they're not giving it to me for free, which is fine. I'm used to mobile games. I'm used to gachas. But it failed to find its identity because it tried to do so much.
Yeah.
Where it didn't have a lasting impact. I like a lot of things about it. I still like the game. But I don't think it has staying power. Unless they do some major updates where I get proven wrong, which is very possible. I know they have a bunch of big stuff in the works, which might pull me back into it. But as of right now, as of what I've played of it, right? Which is the first, 2 months of the game being out or whatever.
Yeah.
A month or two, whatever it's been. Time is weird. I don't think it has long-term staying power. And then there's Among Us. And Among Us is, I would argue, a social game.
Yeah.
Where I think it'll be around for a while. But I don't think you're going to get the same kind of hours put in like you would in Runeterra.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing with Among Us, is that I have a lot of fun playing with friends. But I'm not going to play Among Us alone. I'm not going to go into, like, random... I understand the, like, value of going into random lobbies and, like, honing your skills and trying to, like, you know... mess with strangers on the internet,
but
but with Runeterra, like, even though it's harder for me to play Runeterra against my friends, like, it's definitely one of those games where I don't have to play against my friends. I can, but like, I could go to the ladder and I can pull my hair out because ladder, you know, is stressful. That's the same with every card game, really. But the thing is, I could also just bring in my favorite deck and just start messing around and just have fun matches where I'm playing a deck that I like with characters that I like and even lore relevant stuff.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's kind of like Magic in that way. And the other thing about Runeterra, and this is
Runeterra got a lot of people into it, man.
Yeah. My one critique of
all sorts of card games too.
Yeah. Yeah. My one critique of mobile card games, but my ultimate issue with a lot of mobile card games like Shadowverse and Hearthstone is it takes a while to be able to get to the point where you can build a deck that you want and you can just say, screw it, I'm going to burn some resources, I'm going to build this deck. And
I had the same issue when I tried getting into any of those.
Yeah, and the thing with Hearthstone is I got to that point and it took me like 2 years to get there without spending money.
Ugh.
I'm a free to play stance. It took me forever to get to that part. But in Runeterra,
that's also being aware of the free to play grind.
Yeah.
Like, there's always that.
Yeah. And it was the same with Shadowverse. Shadowverse's rotation came so fast, it was really hard to just build what you wanted because, it was constantly changing.
Gotcha.
But the one thing I really give Runeterra is that their free to play model is incredibly generous. And it's really not hard to just save up for a little bit, make a deck that you really want. And then if it's good enough, you know, bring it to ladder, bring it to casual play, do your missions. And because you're having fun with this deck, you're not worrying about other decks that you want to try. And then a new card set comes out and you're like, oh, because I've been playing just this deck or just these two decks this entire time, I have a lot of resources built up. So I can just burn all of these for a new deck to like grind out on and see if I like. And then you get that new deck and then you're playing it and you're having fun with it. And you're like, oh, yeah, let's go, let's go. And then the new set comes out and you're like, oh, I gathered up all these resources from playing my last favorite deck. And like, I got to that point in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Like compared to Shadowverse's, like, I think it took me 2 years before I was able to just build a deck that I wanted with just access resources. And for Hearthstone, it took me like 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds all right. It's either you get super lucky on your like opening pulls or you just don't.
Yeah. Like, that's why I think Runeterra is like legitimately like probably the best mobile card game we've had in a long while, which is why I'm voting for it for
best mobile
game. Yeah.
There's also the a little bit of asterisk that I always put in for mobile games, where it's, have you been playing since day one? And then how lucky have you gotten?
Yeah.
Because like, that's a huge thing. Like, you get so many more resources and you're just going to be, you're always going to be ahead of the curve if you started day one and you consistently, maybe not every waking minute, but like consistently play. Because like that's me with my Tales of Mobile game, where it's like, cool, I'm on there at least probably twice a day grinding out stuff, right? I'm not the top player, but I'm in the top probably 2,000 players. So like, you know, it's one of those kind of things. I'm on regularly. I'm always trying. I'm always doing stuff. But I see a lot of new players who are like, oh, I've only got this stuff. It's like, yeah, that's how that works, unfortunately. I have a lot of stuff because I've been playing since day one. I've not missed a thing. I've put a little bit of money into it. Not like a ton, but like I put in a couple bucks. So it's like I have a little bit more than you. And that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So
that's what I like about Runeterra, is instead of rewarding you for doing well, it just rewards you for playing. So it's very not hard to be able to get to that point where it's just like, oh, I have a lot of stuff.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Like they should incentivize playing, not anything else more than that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Ready to move on to the next category.
Yeah. Do we have anything else besides best role playing?
You were mentioning Among Us, though. It is in the multiplayer category, and it's probably that one.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it deserves to win.
Yeah, absolutely. None of the other ones probably close.
The best debut game, I want to vote for...
What's best debut game? There it is.
Yeah.
My vote was Carrion.
Carrion's is neat and all, but Mortal Shell was so good. I love it.
Oh,
yeah. I want more of it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's probably not going to win. It shouldn't be any of the other games, but Mortal Shell was great. And I want everyone to know that.
I guess we might as well just end it with best role. Did you want to do best fighting game at all, Ty?
Yeah, I'm going to touch down on it. Grand Blue Fantasy is really good, and it's one of the only games on here that came out this year.
That's fair.
With the exception of like One Punch Man. Uniel's been around forever. Street Fighter V's been around forever. This is the second version of Mortal Kombat 11. If you really want to get into fighting games, Grand Blue's perfect.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff. Well, Grand Blue in general, just it's huge, like that mobile game and everything, and it's become such a big thing. I've heard pretty good stuff about the fighting game.
Yeah, as someone who played Street Fighter 4
competitively.
Competitively, as someone who's been playing fighting games for a long while, Grand Blue is really great for new players. My only gripe with it is that they do seasons like every couple months, and it's like $35 for a season of characters. And it's like, screw that. But otherwise, it's fine. Otherwise, it's really good.
I think it was my roommate was telling me about the One Punch Man one.
Yeah.
Where it's literally all you're doing is fighting and waiting for One Punch Man to come in and beat the bad guy, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that is the smartest thing I've ever heard for a game like for something like this.
He's the timer.
It's amazing. He's the timer. That's amazing.
So basically, it's a 3v3 game. And if you pick One Punch Man, there's a separate timer where you can't use him until he walks over to the fight. And you can reduce the timer by doing like perfect cards and stuff. I think it's a really funny idea.
That's fantastic.
He shows up, the only character that can kill One Punch Man is another One Punch Man. Like, he one-shots everything. Like, he's like ridiculously overpowered. It's very funny.
That's so perfect for like maybe not for a fighting game in general, but like that is such a smart thing for something like that to do. And I love that. That's so clever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a down character technically if you pick him on your team. So you have two guys to fight the other three.
Yeah.
You can't survive up until he gets there. Well, then you're screwed.
Yeah. But,
so you are sacrificing a third character and essentially.
Yeah, that is the issue. And I don't know. I do really like that idea. It's very funny. It's very clever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing I had to like say, like shout out to this. Cause that's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah. My only issue with it is that it's an arena fighter and I just have a bias against those.
Yeah. It's just me. I'm not a huge fan of those. I've played a couple of them and some of them are like, okay, but I would always rather be a 2D playing game or 2.5 or whatever. Just the the 3D arena fighters are just not, they're never good enough. Like, I think it's neat, some of the stuff they do, but I don't think I've played any of them that are, like, worth playing.
Yeah, like, I need
to Naruto's, the Ultimate Ninja Storm. I played all of them, and once
I feel like the Naruto ones were kind of a different thing for me.
Well, the 2D ones were fun, and I really liked that fighting style, but once they went arena fighting, then I started dropping down on quality, I think.
Yeah, like, it's
it's game, but like as a fighting game, I felt like it was lacking.
Yeah.
Shout out to back in the day, I don't remember which one, I think it was one of the PS2 ones for one of these Naruto games, where literally, because my favorite Naruto character, which I haven't watched all the way through Naruto, I haven't finished Naruto, it's Naruto, whatever, I don't care. But my favorite character is Shikamaru.
Yeah.
And it is so stupid because I would just shadow position jutsu over and over and over again, and you would just lock the other player from being able to play the game. So you just stand there. Nobody would get hurt. You just stand there and run the timeout for you to just both double lost. Duncan, we would play with each other.
Oh, no.
And he would get so mad. So he started doing that, trying to do that to me. So you just keep shadow possessing each other. And then he started doing it to other people and getting people pissed off. And it was amazing. So shout out to that, because that's amazing.
Because I did hear really good things about the Kill la Kill arena fighter, because supposedly they took a lot of cues from like traditional fighting games for it.
Okay.
Supposedly, I can see that being like, good. It's very good. Someone compared it to Marvel 3, and I was whoa. Like, that's a bit of a comparison to make for an arena fighter. Like, that's a little nuts, but supposedly it's really good and has a very, like, tight-knit online community.
Nice.
But you guys ready to move on? That came out last year or 2 years ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, let's move on. Let's do the last one, right?
We wouldn't be JRPG book of podcast without letting
talking
you
about
thought about the
RPG. These transitions, guys, you guys are killing me.
We got Final Fantasy 7, Genshin Impact, Persona 5 Royal, Wasteland 3, and Yakuza Like a Dragon.
So for me, there are only three any sort of reasonable competitors here. Final Fantasy 7 Remake, Persona 5 Royal, and Yakuza. So Final Fantasy VII Remake, again, we've done like three episodes on it. I love that game. It's a completely new game, like not new, but like new, right, for the year. Yeah. Persona 5 Royal, that's its biggest asterisk, is it's basically a DLC pack repackaged as a new game.
Yeah, with some small quality of life improvements.
Did I still vote for it? Absolutely. However... mostly because it's the only category it's in and it deserves a win, because I absolutely adore Persona 5 and Royal and everything about it. It got me through a bunch of time.
I think it was in one other category. Sorry, keep talking.
It was not. Yakuza Like a Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon kind of just like, I'm in a bunch of JRPG groups and stuff like that, and everyone's like, this game is amazing. So my roommate just picked it up today, so I haven't been able to take a look at it yet. But it takes like the mechanics of like old Final Fantasies, where you have the job mechanic system and you apply them to your characters and stuff in this like 3D like adventure kind of game or whatever, but it's an RPG, like a turn-based RPG with jobs and stuff. It's like set in the Yakuza universe.
You have to look at the game. It is hilarious.
Oh my god. Because I heard some really good things about it.
People, but like, they have quirks to them, like a chef or a big Yakuza boss who's a baby. Like, it's amazing.
And supposedly it's a great entry point into the series on top of it, too. So, like, you could just jump in and play.
Yeah.
And people really like the main protagonist a lot. They're saying he's really good.
I keep hearing.
With the original guy.
Yeah. Because I watched the German 985 stream of Yakuza, and I'm like, this game looks like hilarious. This game looks great. Yeah. So I've been meaning to pick up a Yakuza game, but hearing that it's like a traditional RPG, like, I thought it would be, for a second, I thought they'd like just tacked it on there, like, yeah, whatever, it's RPG enough.
No. But, like, it is the RPG.
That is hilarious. It's so cool. I gotta pick up this game.
I feel like that'd be a community winner, like, because it's very slowly like, hitting everybody's charts of being like, hey, this is actually incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my vote was Persona 5 Royal, mostly just because it's the only one in that category, and I think it deserves a win because that game is fantastic. It took Persona 5 and just made it better, which says something, I think. Like, because it is a definitive version of Persona 5. Persona 5, when it came out, was amazing. It was such a jump from the last, from Persona 4.
Yeah.
And they did it again in ways that I didn't think that they could, and just made the entire experience even more streamlined. Mm-hmm. And I think that says something. I love it. I understand that if it doesn't deserve it, and if something else wins. But those are my three, was 7, Remake, Royal, and Dragon.
Yeah.
Same with me.
Yeah, my
for me though.
I like the two that I have played are Final Fantasy VII Remake and Persona 5 Royal, which, you know, both of you guys know. Oliver, if our viewers or listeners, if our listeners have listened to any of the recent episodes, they know this. But like, I'm kind of in that same area as you, Bill, where it's like Persona 5 Royal with an asterisk. Because like,
right.
I feel like it's almost cheating because Persona 5 was really, really good. And it's like, well, this is an improved Persona 5.
The problem isn't its own thing. It just feels like, hey, this is more, you know, it's a DLC slot almost, but it's not because they re-released it as a full game. So it's like in that weird territory of it doesn't deserve to be here, but I'm voting for it anyway.
Yeah. But in that case,
last year, though.
Yeah, like it's did it win last year? I'm pretty sure it did.
Year before, I don't know.
But Final Fantasy VII Remake like easily wins for me. Because to me, from what I've played, the only competition that it has is Persona 5 Royal. I love Persona 5 Royal, but I can't like divorce it from Persona 5.
Exactly.
And I think that's my issue, is that I'm just like, Persona 5 Royal is really good, but it's kind of cheating. Because it just took for an already really good game and just made it better. Like, the thing is, if we got let's say, for example, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 also just came with Final Fantasy VII Remake. If it was just like, they just threw it on top. And like, the thing is, if it gets best role-playing game, which I assume it will be at least nominated whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
Like, it would also have that asterisk of, yeah, but the first part was on there too.
I don't think so, mostly for the fact of the difference between 7 Remake and 7 Remake Part 2, right?
Yeah.
It's a completely like, it's doubling, right? Effectively, what was in there. Persona 5 Royal maybe adds 25%.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's not a full game, it's a fraction of a game additional to what already existed.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the big asterisk for me, is because of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. Like, it's just. Yeah, like what if next year they just made like Final Fantasy Remake +++ Accent Core?
I wouldn't be surprised.
And it just has like some DLC of like side stories and stuff. It's just
we're getting 16.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I keep forgetting about that. Hopefully we see something about that at the Game Rewards pre-show.
Maybe.
But I think we're not supposed to get too much about it until New Year.
Yeah, I would assume it'll be in the spring, summer, like convention season.
Yeah.
And we'll start getting some of that stuff. I mean, that was basically it for me in terms of the role-playing category, which is obviously our most, you know,
the one we care about.
It's for us. I think we are talking about doing a live stream during the Game Awards. So check us out. Hopefully this episode should be up by then. Hopefully I'll have it up by tomorrow. We'll see. Yeah. I sleep for the day or not. check it out. We're gonna be on Twitch. I think it's just JRPG Book Club. Check us out. I'll do a post on the social pages and stuff. Just come hang out with us.
All right.
Yeah.
I will come hang out with you, Bill.
Do it, please. Please.
I think I'll be there.
Yeah maybe.
Hopefully Bill will be there too.
No, I'm just going to not show. I have better things to do that day.
Cyberpunk and all, but you want to get a break.
A real problem.
It's just going to be us hosting the Game Awards, but not saying anything.
We're not playing because we're just playing Cyberpunk.
I know, it's so unfortunate it came out the same day.
Yeah.
It's just straight up piracy. We just steal the stream.
So what we'll do is we'll have one of our sessions of Cyberpunk on one half of the screen and then the game board's on the other. And all it is just Jack customizing his genitals.
Yeah. Obviously we have two like TV and TVs of you guys playing it. And then there's a third one in the top right corner of me playing like Kirby's Air Ride or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that just about does that. I think we rambled on for well too long this time.
Yeah.
As usual, thank you guys for joining us. This was Bill.
Ty.
And I'm Jack. And that was the Magazine Rack.
I'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.